You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles, Series 4, Episode 1.
Thanks for listening back to the Geekly Chronicles.
This show was recorded on the 8th of April, 2016.
This version of the show isn't quite the same as the one that went out live, as we've had to edit out all of the songs.
It's nothing personal. We're just big fans of making sure artists get paid for the great things they create.
If you want to listen back to the show in its full musical glory, wow, head over to our Mixcloud channel, where you'll find every episode of the Geekly Chronicles as it was meant to be heard.
Ooh.
That's mixcloud.com/GKLYCO.
Thanks again for listening.
I know!
We've made it this far.
Yes.
Hello. Inexplicably.
Who would have guessed?
Indeed.
I might have done, but I probably wouldn't have put money on it.
Yeah. Probably not what we would call the safest bet. But we are here.
Yes,
we
hello.
Are indeed back. And since we've been away, a lot has happened.
Oh, loads.
For example, the National Environment Research Council let the internet decide the name for its new research ship and may, as a result, name it Boaty McBoatface,
nice,
which leads the poll with over 110,000 votes.
That's amazing. I love that. But also, it emerged while we were off the air that there are 26,911 words of European Union regulation entirely dedicated to cabbages.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
But to be fair, I mean, someone's got to regulate all of those different types of cabbage. So
yeah, the cabbage menace.
Yeah.
Casbos.
Casbo, yes.
Well, I don't see all how right, I can then top those. But I'll try with this one. A gang from Wales were arrested for stealing £20,000 worth of Jammy Dodgers.
Wow.
Wow.
That is a lot of jammy dodgers.
All the Dodgers.
Really? Really, you're going for the pun this early in the show?
Why not, eh?
Oh, dear me. Deary me. And in New Zealand, a cat has stolen around 30 pairs of underwear and 100 socks from its neighbours. And the owner is now moving house, so has to find a home for all of these garments.
Just a cat underwear thief. A cat burglar.
Oh, my God.
You say the owner's moved house?
Is moving house.
Oh,
so
okay.
They're trying to find where these garments came from. Not everyone is owning up, interestingly.
Okay. Well, also, while we've been away, Microsoft launched an artificial intelligence Twitter bot named Tay, and it lasted about 16 hours before it was taken offline because they put it on Twitter, and everyone on Twitter jumped on the opportunity to teach it, well, how to hate everything.
Ah.
Of course.
That'll
because
happen.
Twitter.
Yes.
Yes.
The National Pew.
Remember when we did that in the rehearsal, yeah, and you said you weren't going to do it tonight?
I wasn't going to say pew. Yeah, I know. I remember. The National Poo Museum has opened on at the Isle of Wight.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, wow. A National Poo Museum.
Yes, a museum dedicated to poop.
Well,
just for the nation of the Isle of Wight.
I think it's the British Poo Museum.
Wow. Mm.
Well, everything it's comes down
British
to poo.
I think the most important question is it free entry?
Oh dear indeed.
The National Poo Museum. So that's obviously my next holiday is going to be to the Isle of Wight.
Yes.
Well, we've got loads of things coming up on the show for you tonight. It's a packed show. Lots of the features that you love returning. I mean, we sent out a little survey before the new series started, and we actually took your feedback on board.
We did.
So
this is true.
We're back with Game of Geeks a bit later on. We've got the forecast back again. We have a fantastic guest coming onto the show this evening. We've got Jordan Cox, the Coupon Kid. That'll be amazing to have Jordan on the show and hear his secrets. Catherine's back with the Tumble Fumble a bit later on. We also have some new features for you this evening. We've got something a little bit sporty, so we'll be talking about that a bit later on.
It terrified me as well when you suggested in the meetings. Don't worry, listeners. Stay with us.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yep.
We'll get through this together.
It's not too sporty. Don't worry. I mean, if you'd ever met any of the three of us, you would know it's not going to be too sporty.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
So, as always, you can request songs for us to play. You can do that on Twitter by tweeting to @GKLYCO with the hashtag request and whatever it is you want to request. Or on IRC, you can type in !! request and then whatever you want to request. And we will get your message.
Yeah, and it's also worth noting that if you head to the website, gkly.co, you can just go to the chat room there. If you're on the homepage and listening live, the chat room, I don't know how to speak. Obviously, we've been off the air for too long.
We've forgotten how words work.
Yeah, the chat room is right there on the front page.
Indeed it is. Or people are already having success requesting stuff. For example, Amy C. in the chat room has requested me. So so that's a good start to the show.
Okay, we will package that up. We'll get a shipping quote for that one, Amy, and we'll see how much it will cost to ship you Chris.
Yeah.
He's quite tall though, but lanky, so we can probably fold him.
Yeah. Collapse.
We can't fold you more than 7 times like a piece of paper.
This is true. I wonder how many stamps that would be. Anyway.
So we have this new feature. We really like to get the audience voting in on the show. We always have. And last series, we had you vote on a would you rather. So, you know, like the old party game that people would play. Would you rather have Santa for a dad or a monkey for an uncle is one of the ones we did. But before that, we had bad song of the week where we would get people to vote in for bad songs, and we had, you know, that introduced us to songs like Selfie by the Chainsmokers.
Ah, the fine piece of music that is.
Oh, don't remind me.
Yeah. But first...
Look it up, people.
So we wanted to do something that was a little less cringeworthy this time around. Yes, one of the requests from listeners is please stop making us cringe. So
they haven't heard... this new feature yet. No. We might be failing.
You will cringe like you've never cringed before.
But this is brilliant though, because all the time when I'm on Twitter and around, I see ridiculous companies popping up and offering new ridiculous services or ridiculous things. Or I see a new pitch for a TV show that looks absolutely stupid, and why anyone would put money towards that, I don't know. And so our new feature is called Would You Fund It? The idea behind this is that every week, Catherine, Chris and I will pitch to you, the listeners, a different thing. And we're going to compete against each other here to see how many of our ideas the listeners would actually fund. So I'm going to tell you a bit about my idea. I'm going to give you a pitch. And then over the course of the show tonight, you can go to the website gkly.co/fundit. And once I've done my explanation, there'll also be a Twitter poll available for you to vote on. And you can tell us whether you would, if you had the money, put it into our production.
Of course, we don't actually want your money. And we will probably not make these things.
Yeah, these things will
probably
not actually get
not.
Made.
Hopefully not.
So would you like to hear my idea, my pitch for this evening?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, go on then.
Yeah, I mean, I'm setting the tone here, so you've got a bar to beat, both of you, after this one.
Oh, dear.
My idea for this evening, Jammy Dodgers.
Of course it is.
They already exist.
Not the biscuit, though.
Oh, dear.
The reality TV show.
What?
My pitch. Hear me out. This is a reality TV show for anyone that is trying to avoid paying tax. The Jammy Dodgers are the people that will be mentioned in leaked papers from Panama. And like the Big Brother house, we would get them all together in one big house. Let's call it the cookie jar. And we would put all these people together and then lock the door and forget about them. I mean, we don't even need to put cameras in there. We could literally just lock the door
and put
David Cameron, Donald Trump, Sarah Palin, Vladimir Putin. Let's put them all in this house and lock the door. And I mean, you know, I think actually as a reality TV show, that might work quite well. I mean, can you imagine a show that had David Cameron and Vladimir Putin and Sarah Palin all together in the same house? I mean, what really, when we think about it, would that sound like? It's Dave 3 in the cookie jar, and Donald just can't seem to get away from Dave's tax evading antics.
You gotta stop this, Dave.
Oh, come on, Donald. There's got to be room for another 2 or 3 million under that wig.
My wig is on a beach in Panama, Davey C, let me tell you.
Are you sure, Donald? It's the same colour.
Money hiding, wig stealing, tax evading.
Shut up, Sarah. Meanwhile, Vlad and his friends have taken over the dining room and won't let anyone else in.
There is nothing to see here. Nothing. Move along, please.
But Vlad, I can see piles of cash in the reflection of the door.
Did you say off the shore?
No, I said...
Get him.
Outside the cookie jar, investigative journalists continue to hound the contestants.
David, David, is it true you had an interest in your father's trust?
That's completely untrue. My father never trusted me.
Vlad, Vlad, why are you in the cookie jar?
Nothing to see here, nothing to see.
But you're wearing a t-shirt that says, I went to Panama and all I got was this lousy offshore account.
Boys, silence her.
There's just four more years to go of this series of Jammy Dodger, where we lock dirty tax-evading thieves in a cookie jar and hope against all hope by the time they come out, the world will no longer remember or care about who they are.
Get him.
Wait, wait! So there you have it.
Oh my God.
Jammy Dodgers. Who wouldn't watch that?
Yet further proof that we probably need more accent practice. But but to be fair, I can see the appeal of having them all. You just want to give that accent another go.
I do. I think I could be the Big Brother announcer, to be honest with you.
I can see the appeal. I like the idea of having them all in a house, sort of, you know, isolated from the real world.
I'd probably watch the first couple of episodes and then, you know, not want to ever see those people again.
But, same with real Big Brother, to be fair.
So, please do remind people of how they can vote to see if they would fund this.
Well, you can vote on the website at gkly.co/fundit, or if you head to our Twitter page at gklyco, there is a Twitter poll in which we encourage you to cast your votes. And early indications are looking positive,
there
I
we
must
go.
Say.
I said, everyone wants to see Jammy Dodgers. And even if they're not interested in the show, I think the idea of taking all of those people and just locking them in a room together.
Yeah. Or a giant biscuit barrel.
Or a giant biscuit barrel. We might just forget to put air holes in the top. Yeah. But
just know. Say they're not in the world for a good few weeks.
Yeah, or months or
years.
So that's Would You Fund It? And that, of course, ties in quite nicely with the news that we saw earlier this week of the leaked papers in Panama. Also, our Jammy Dodger biscuit thieves. Mm. But what else has been going on in the news?
So we've got a British Poo Museum.
That's incredible.
Indeed, we do.
I know. I was a bit stunned by that, really. So, yeah, the Isle of Wight Zoo is hosting the Poo Museum until it goes on tour after the summer.
Good heavens, Poo
it's going on
tour.
That's amazing.
Tour, yeah.
So will Poo come to a town near me soon?
I haven't actually found a list of the towns that it's going to, but I'm pretty sure. You know, if there's going to be a tour, it's got to be somewhere near here.
I'm putting in all the votes. I say that we need to have the Poo Museum for an evening in the Geekly Studio.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, and not our own homemade one either.
No. Not the one we usually have floating around.
Yeah, okay. It's a little bit too much information there.
So, to make sure that the actual museum's poo didn't smell, the curators have had to build a special dung dryer.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
A dung dryer.
Oh, God.
So a stick insect poo can be desiccated completely in an hour or so, but a lion poo can take a fortnight to dry out.
Okay, so what I've learned from that is that stick insect poo is quite small.
Well, I would imagine so. Stick insects are quite small.
I wonder why this is information we need to know as a species, how quickly we can dry out our own poo.
What is the fascination with poo?
Nigel George, one of the curators at the museum, says that...
poo-rators.
Yeah, poo-rator at the poo-seum. Says that, poo provokes strong reactions. Small children naturally delight in it, but later we learn to avoid this yucky, disease-carrying stuff, and that even talking about poo is bad, he told the Hartlepool Mail. But for most of us, under the layers of disgust and taboo, we're still fascinated by it.
Really? So everything comes apparently down to poo, is what we're saying
from
here.
From the top of your head to the sole of your shoes.
Oh, dear.
Apparently so. It's
wow. Okay, well, it's interesting to hear from that poo-rator on this clearly pooey idea. It's,
yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, which I'm sure is the word we're all looking for.
Yeah, but then there's been there have been even more ridiculous things in the news.
There have indeed. So, as I mentioned at the start of the show, Boaty McBoatface has been in the news a lot this week. So the National Environment Research Council, which until the beginning of this month, I'm not sure any of us knew existed,
I might have known it existed.
No, well, okay.
Okay. They're planning on, you know, commissioning a new ship to go and do environment research, one would assume.
Ship things,
general boat stuff. And they decided, instead of giving it one of those, you know how like most of our ships as a country have those big grandiose names, like I can't think of any, but
Titanic.
Not necessarily great examples, but...
they do tend to crash a lot, those ones. The QE2.
Yeah. So there's ships like that, but they decided, instead of giving it one of those sorts of names, to let the internet decide what they would call this new research ship. And currently in the lead on the website is Boaty McBoatface with... over 110,000 votes.
Oh, that's
which
brilliant.
Is incredible. You can still vote until the 16th of April. You can still nominate ship names as well. If you so choose. I mean, Boaty McBoatface is far and away leading.
The Geekly Chronicles sailing the ocean waves.
I think we're going to have to submit one now.
Yeah, I think so.
But just to give you an idea of other suggestions which haven't quite made it up to the top of the list, RRS, Royal Research Ship, Ice Hammer.
Nice.
RRS Stephen C. Gull.
Nice.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
there's a website at nameourship.nerc.ac.uk, and you can just kind of click the random button over and over again until you get... until you get some amusing ones. There's lots named after various people. RRS Climate Control.
Wow.
Interestingly enough. The RRS Captain Crunch. I'm quite enjoying. RRS Big Red Boat. Because it is, if you've seen any of the pictures, a big red boat. Descriptive, if nothing else. RRS The Borg.
Interesting.
RRS Queen Elsa and various others, but RRS Brian Blessed, one I'm particularly happy about. But
that, I mean, that's brilliant. But only if the foghorn goes Brian Blessed, because that's the only way you can pay homage to.
I'm rather liking the RSS Guns and Froses.
Yes, that's quite good.
Or, that's brilliant.
Ice Cube, which is descriptive again. So yeah, there's still time to vote for your favorite.
That's
vote
brilliant.
For your boat. Boaty McBoatface is far and away the leader, but interestingly, I saw a couple of weeks ago Southwest Trains named one of their trains Trainee McTrainface in celebration.
Really? That's amazing. So, and Scattermoon in the chat room has said RSS Watt Iceberg is my favorite.
Yeah,
that's quite an amusing one there. So, Boaty McBoatface, yes. The Pooh Museum, and of course, your ability to vote for this week's Would You Fund It?
Indeed.
Jammy Dodgers.
From Pooh to Ships.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
Speaking of ridiculous fighting things.
Okay.
Sure.
We have another new feature for you.
How exciting.
With the Olympics coming up, we were thinking maybe something a little bit on the sporty side. But then we looked around and decided, oh, actually, none
bad
of us
idea.
Really know anything about sports.
It's not that we don't like sports. I mean,
it kind of is.
Well, you don't like sports. I mean, I'm a huge ice hockey fan.
I love darts.
That's a sport, is it?
It is.
Is it
classified
really?
As a sport? Yeah.
Well,
it's classified.
Yep.
Man, the first rule of darts is that nobody talks about darts.
Yeah.
Ah, that'll be why.
Okay. All right, then. Didn't expect that to be true.
Yeah, but okay. we come up with this new feature then, because we really wanted to do something to get people pumped up for the Olympics, but With none of us knowing about sport, we thought actually the best thing we could do is try and learn more about sport. I mean, I know that I tend to think that I know a lot about sports. You know, I watch the Olympics and I think, oh, I know how that sport works. But actually, I'm quite ignorant. And so I have embarked on a journey over the course of this series to learn more about different sports. And we're calling it the Geekly Guide to Sport. And this week we're covering off some sports that I knew really nothing about. So I want to share those with you now.
Geekly.
Geekly. Geekly. Guide to Sport. It's been 4 years since the London Olympics, and while most of us Brits are still stuck in traffic outside of the stadium, the International Committee for Grand Opening Ceremonies has decided it's about time we have another one. Now, in case it wasn't obvious, I don't know a lot about sport, but with the Olympics coming up, I've decided it's about time that I learned a little more. And so let me introduce you to the Geekly Guide to Sports. Each week, I'll be taking a look at a few different Olympic sports and offering you an idiot's guide. I'll even be catching up with a few future Olympic hopefuls who are actual experts so that they can attempt to vaguely correct my woeful levels of sporting prowess. This week, let's take a look at what I affectionately refer to as the steak and egg sports: weightlifting, wrestling, and judo. Now, weightlifting has been part of the Olympics since its advent back in 1743, when the Olympic torch was made out of burning iron and as a result was so heavy the very act of carrying it was declared a national sport itself. These days, it's more like heavyweight tiddlywinks, with weightlifters lifting large, circular weights on poles and then tossing them atop the others. I've never actually watched it, and my research has largely been limited to my own imagination. But that seems like a logical way to turn something entirely non-competitive, like lifting something heavy off of the floor, into something that someone can actually win a medal for. Wrestling is probably the more straightforward of the sports in this category to understand. Lots of people in tight, shiny singlets rub up against each other and eventually one of them gives up. The one who doesn't give up wins, and a bit like the Pokemon League, goes on to fight the winner of other fights until eventually the Elite Three are chosen and awarded bronze, silver and gold Pokeballs. Now, while I was a bit too scared to find someone who was proficient in either weightlifting or wrestling to talk to, I was able to find a young Olympic hopeful who does judo. To me, martial arts always seemed a bit more like a cross between art and dance, and so I was once again really confused about how anyone could win a medal in it. Is it really a sport?
It's a real sport, yes.
Well, that showed me. He didn't seem surprised by my question, though, and added after a long sigh.
It's quite an underappreciated sport. It's not one that you will, like, kind of get people queuing up to see, like, athletics or the Paralympic athletics.
But surely people love seeing things like judo and karate in films and movies. I mean, maybe that's how they earn medals. Is it all to do with the style and the badassery of their moves?
No, that's Jackie Chan movies, you know.
Apparently not, then. I was keen to know whether judo could potentially be my way to gain Olympic glory, so I asked our young judo champion if it'd be something I could get good at easily.
Not really, it's incredibly close contact, high octane.
High octane. Good with his fists, perhaps, but I'm not sure I'd trust him to fill up my car with a tank of unleaded. Thanks for joining me on this week's journey into the info pump of the Great Olympiad. Oh, and one more thing from this week's Olympic hopeful.
If anyone's thinking of trying any sort of martial art, just have fun with it.
Have fun and don't give up. Two sports in which I might actually have a fighting chance of doing well in.
It's time for this week's Tumble Fumble. Are you ready for a scroll in the hay?
And we're back in the hay.
Oh.
Yeah, so for this series, we were going through looking up, you know, significant dates to help us kind of guide the themes for the shows. And one thing I realised was almost every day was some kind of, you know, national day of something or international day of this, that and the other.
We could take every day off work.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Love it.
And then I found a blog of a girl that tries to do something to celebrate every day. So alwaysaholiday.com is her blog. And for example, today was Happy National Beer Day. So it looks like she had a beer. Yesterday, it was National Caramel Popcorn Day.
Oh, I had some of that, actually.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
I love
well
caramel popcorn.
Well,
I mean, I like sweet popcorn generally, but...
I like that mixture of sweet and salty.
Yeah, ooh, that's really good, actually. Yeah, now I'm craving popcorn. Thank you. We don't have any here in the studio.
We should get some.
Help us. Send popcorn.
Emergency.
Emergency popcorn.
It's the emergency popcorn klaxon. And sort of the 5th of April was National Deep Dish Pizza Day. That's very specific on the pizza.
It has to be deep dish.
It has to be, nothing else. The 4th of, this one's really strange, the 4th of April, National Walk Around Things Day. So for her blog, it looks like she's just walked around a chair.
Okay. So it's just like walking around objects or?
So I could just walk around a building and I'd be celebrating National Walk Around Things Day.
Mm, yeah. Yep, I guess you could.
Wow.
Yep. We've also got National Find a Rainbow Day, which I imagine could be quite challenging if, you know, there's not been rain or water anywhere.
It kind of depends on the country, doesn't it? Because some places you live, you might not have many rainbows.
Then we've got National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. Bit of a classic.
Yeah.
Are we talking English jelly or American jelly? Because peanut butter and English jelly is terrible.
I'm imagining that this is American jelly, English jam.
Oh, good. Yeah, because peanut butter and jam is lovely.
Mm. Yeah, the picture on the website is sort of a strawberry spread, which looks very much like a strawberry jam. Mm.
Or well,
we would call a strawberry jam.
I do love sandwiches.
Mm, sandwiches. Mm. Also got National 1 Cent Day.
Mm, yeah.
Okay. Mm. I'm assuming that's C-E-N-T, not S-C-N-T. S-C-E-N-T.
C-E-N-T.
So it's like not like National cent, like National coins. Smell Day.
No.
But there probably is one of those as well.
Probably, yeah.
Mm.
March 31st was National Bunsen Burner Day.
Ah. Ooh.
Whip your Bunsen Burner out.
You can be my Bunsen Burner.
Singe a few things.
Haven't heard that song in years.
Lose an eyebrow or two. National Take a Walk in a Park Day.
Well, that one's quite easy.
That's rather nice.
Yeah. So seems achievable.
Are all of these days like observable holidays that I can take off work?
I'm not sure. Our employers would be very impressed.
Yeah, well,
if we took every day off.
Well, every day's a holiday, as
they would probably celebrate. They would probably have been celebrating on March 28th, which was National Be Mad Day.
Ah,
yes.
I was mad on March the 31st.
Weren't we all?
Just days that end in a one do it for me.
Those one days.
One day, right?
One of these days, one day.
This one's nice. March 26th was National Wear Purple Day.
Oh, it's my favourite colour.
I thought you'd like that one.
Nice.
Oh, and we also have, I'm not even sure if I can say that word, National Waffeldegen Day.
What is that?
Close enough.
It looks like a food. Waffelgiffen. Waffelgiffen. We'll go with
Waffelgiffen. Something about waffles.
Yes, of course, the famous Waffelgiffen waffles.
Waffelgiffen.
Yes, I mean, I will only eat Waffelgiffen waffles. They're so much better for you than regular waffles. I actually have a Waffelgiffen iron in my kitchen.
I'm sure if I actually had time, if I could read and talk at the same time, I would be able to read the blog post and explain.
Hey Siri, define Waffelgiffen.
What Waffelgiffen day is? I'm guessing it's just waffles.
Right. Okay, so what's the next tumble fumble? Let's move on from
Gazorb.
Well, the next one is very much going with the theme of perhaps people in power annoying the people that they have power over. The hashtag yesterday evening, curse David Cameron, really amused me, because these were some very British curses. Things like, may you constantly forget about your tea until it is unpleasantly tepid. And
excellent.
And may your floors be forever strewn with Lego pieces.
Fantastic. That would hurt quite a lot.
May all your trains be rail replacement buses.
Oh dear.
That would be particularly annoying.
These are very, very cringeworthy curses for people like us.
I've just pulled them up now. I've got, may you always have an unexpected item in your bagging area.
Ooh.
And may your remote controls always have flat batteries.
Oh dear.
Eek.
And may your sausage not roll is another one.
Oh.
May you always have your name misspelt on your Starbucks cup.
I think that's a universal problem, isn't it?
Yeah, to be
I don't
fair.
Think I've ever had my name.
May your
right.
visiting Parmenian ambassador not spoil you with Ferrero Rocher.
May Donald Trump's hairdresser tease your locks with a combine harvester.
May you always be a West Ham fan. Sorry, I meant Aston Villa.
Oh, dearie me. May you be the first through a door and stuck for eternity, politely holding it open for an infinite line of people.
May all your Ribena cartons have no straw attached.
Oh, I hate it when that happens. Oh.
I mean, it's been a while since I've had a Ribena, but this one happens to me more often. May you forever step on Lego and then as you jump, land on an upturned plug.
Oh!
That's a double whammy right there.
I felt that.
Yeah.
May you put your recycling bins out on the day for general waste collection.
Yep, always are, doing that.
There are some ruder ones here. Let me skip over those. May your ring pulls always break off.
May your tea bags forever split in the cup.
Oh, God. May you be force-fed a diet of sprouts and spend the rest of your life in an airtight spacesuit.
Oh, dear.
May you ever need help from Speaking Ian Duncan Smith.
May your USB never go in the right way.
Oh, that's a terrible one.
Yes, that. Oh. I think that's a hell we can all deal. May your rich tea biscuit always break in half as you dunk it, then go mushy in your fingers as you try and retrieve it.
And may the song Chelsea Dagger by the Fratellis be endlessly stuck in your head like some kind of nightmarish earworm.
It is permanently stuck in my head, so I feel that pain.
Yeah, that's quite I'm now it's stuck in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put that in the request queue.
Oh, no.
Because if we have to suffer through it, you at home have to suffer through it as well. That's the rules of this show.
May you forever be stuck behind tractors and lorries whilst driving anywhere on UK roads.
Just UK roads.
Yeah.
It's very specific. Go and can escape to Panama and be fine.
Yes, how amusing though.
Anything else for us during this hay scroll?
One more thing in the rolling in the hay.
Rolling in the scrolling in the hay. Yeah, you are now wrapping the tumble fumble.
Yeah, please don't make me do that. Okay, so the next
series
thing
finale.
is completely different again. Once again on Twitter, I discovered recently Pingu Reacts, which I think is an account run by a group of people that run a whole ton of accounts that we've mentioned before, things like Hogwarts Logic and a few of those. But yeah, Pingu Reacts. If anyone is old enough or young enough to remember Pingu, the cartoon, beautiful stuff. And it's just taking GIFs and pictures from the show and giving them amusing captions. Was a huge Pingu fan when I was a kid, so it really appeals to me. Most of them talk about things that I don't really relate to so much anymore. Things like, you know, losing your mates on a night out and, being sick when you've drunk too much. But Pingu illustrates them so adorably.
Well,
that I can't help
Pingu.
But love it. Yeah.
How was that? That was what Pingu did? Was it?
Yeah. I think they call it a newt.
A newt.
Newt. Newt. That makes sense.
Okay.
Yep. And his little seal pal.
I shall audition for the next voice voice person for Pingu. Newt. Newt. And now I shall read from scene 4 on page 37. Newt. Newt.
Oh, dearie me.
I wonder if you can find Pingu scripts online.
I'm sure they're up there somewhere.
It's like loads of stage direction. Approaches from the igloo. Looks pensive. Note, note.
I think there's quite a lot of... there's quite a lot of sort of tongue flapping.
Was that another type of waffle?
Quite possibly, yes.
Right.
Oh,
they ate a lot of waffles on Pingu.
Note, note. Oh, my waffle machine. Note, note.
I'm absolutely in love with this Pingu Reacts thing already. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing.
They do some quality angry faces and the delight and other sort of things that look wildly inappropriate went for a kid's show anyway. Especially when captioned by grown-ups.
Yes. Yeah, it's the captions that make it the weird thing. but no, this is absolutely fantastic.
Well, so thank you. Thank you for a really, really quite excellent tumble fumble. It's some really amazing stuff going on there. And I'm sure we've got more to look forward to next series.
Indeed. Well, next next episode.
Next series. I was so used to the fact that we were at the end of a series. Now we're at the start of another one. It feels weird. Good, though. Good. We've got a whole 9 other episodes, including this one, of this series to go.
It's 10 brilliant. Including this one.
10 including this one. Excluding this one. It's 9. I have no idea what I'm talking about now.
Hashtag maths fail.
We all forgot how to do this show.
I'm not particularly great at mathematics, I have to be honest with you. It's not something that... I mean, I'm probably about as qualified as the Chancellor of the Exchequer to actually do anything to do with maths, but that aside... So coming up after the next song, we've got a fantastic interview with the Coupon Kid. And if you don't know the Coupon Kid, Jordan Cox, it's Jordan _Cox on Twitter if you want to follow him. Jordan, J-O-R-D-O-N. This person's amazing, I think. Someone who has just been able to find these really cool ways of money saving. So we'll be talking to him up after the next song. If you have any questions for Jordan as we're going along, please feel free to pop them in the chat room. Remember, you can keep requesting stuff as well. How exciting.
Indeed, you can.
How are we doing on the Would You Fund It?
Well, the tables very much have turned. Ooh. And slightly less early indications are looking quite a bit more negative than they were before.
Oh, wow, that's a lot of people.
So do get your votes in before the end of the show, gkly.co/fundit, or find our poll on Twitter at gklyco.
Oh, come on, who doesn't want to watch Jammy Dodgers? Why? I can't be losing.
I think it's the whole why even bother to put cameras in there factor.
Yeah, to be
why
fair.
Why make us watch?
Okay, well, fine. Don't fund the cameras. Pay for the cookie jar and we'll just put them all in there.
Yeah.
That'd work.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
sorry, Chris.
We're just going to do half sentences each, shall we?
I'll do one word, you do the other word.
Fantastic. So now joining us on the line, we have Jordan Cox, money-saving expert, Coupon Kid. Hello, Jordan.
Hello, how are you?
I'm not bad, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well.
Good, good. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on this evening. I mean, it's... Money is kind of on everyone's mind at the moment. There's kind of news from everywhere. And I think, there's a real danger at the moment of everyone thinking that the only way to save money is to open up a shell company in Panama. And obviously we want to avoid encouraging people to do that, because I think there's a lot that we can all do to kind of live those better lives. And I think the first time I heard of you was also the first time I'd heard of the term couponing.
Really? That was the first time?
Yeah, I don't know whether I just led a sheltered life or whether I just didn't live anywhere that had any particularly good deals or offers. And I mean, I worked in a supermarket when I first left school, and I never encountered anyone there that was a couponer, but then I might have just been unlucky, because the more I look into it, the more common it seems. How did you get into it?
Well, it was all because of a TV show called Extreme Couponing, and it's a show out in the US. They broadcast it on like TLC in the UK, and they just get thousands of dollars worth of products, and they barely pay anything for it just because they collect all these coupons. And I started watching the show, and I was like, Mom, we could probably do this in the UK if we like started looking it up on Google and things like that. And we were struggling for money. We didn't have much money between us, single person, single parent household. And we kind of just started Googling coupons, and we found it was possible. And after like 1 week of collecting them, like printing them off from online, looking in like in-store magazines, we saved about £15, which doesn't sound like much. But if you do that every single week over the year, then that's really a lot of money. I've saved nearly £15,000 now, I think, just by using vouchers, just by budgeting, just by using coupons, and that's only in the past 4 years. So there is so much out there for you to get.
So it was kind of a real aha moment. You kind of watched the show and then suddenly thought, we could do this as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, my parents used to be like married and they divorced, and that's kind of the reason for the struggling with money. And once we found that, we realized that we can pay our bills, and then we can treat ourselves to the nicer things in life that we used to have, like holidays, restaurants, just general all-round nice things that people normally do. And without couponing, without using vouchers, we wouldn't have been able to do that. And we actually went on holidays to Italy, to Spain, and we partially paid for a holiday to the US as well, which obviously I looked for discounts for that as well. But yeah, all the money that we saved amounted to some great experiences.
That's amazing. And I mean, my personal belief in life is that it's not all about the money that you have in the bank, but the experiences that you can go out and live. And it sounds like couponing gives you plenty of both, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So when you first started getting into this and you watched that show that was in the US and you started doing Googling, did you find that it wasn't really a thing already in the UK, or did you kind of discover this Aladdin's cave of people already into couponing in the UK?
When I started, it wasn't really that popular. And I don't think people knew much about it back then. Mostly it was just the Tesco club card coupons that you get in the post. And people didn't really know where to look for them. And just by doing a Google search now, there are literally like 150 coupons you can print out right now just for things like free Pringles. There's free tea. There's free milk. Yes, there's so many things out there for you to just print out in a single click. And I don't think people actually know about that. Even today, I don't think people know too much about where to look and where to find to get the best bargains. And I actually wrote a blog today where I totaled up so many coupons you can just get by printing out online. And you can get £45 worth of groceries and only pay £14 for it this week if you print out the right one.
Wow, that's amazing.
That is an incredible offer. One of the things that I think you're probably most known for is, correct me if I'm wrong on the figures here, but I seem to remember you did £600 worth of grocery shopping and paid a total of 4 pence. Is that right?
Absolutely correct, yeah.
How?
Well, that did take a little bit of time, as I'm sure you're probably aware. It didn't just happen overnight. But it took about 3 months for me to collect all the coupons up for that shop. And mostly what all of that was just contacting manufacturers. If I really liked a product, I got in contact with them and said, look, I really love your product. Can you send me any coupons? And that usually works, as crazy as it seems. And the more effort you put into it, then the more coupons you're able to get. I've sent poems to companies before, and I've got like £20 worth of coupons back in the post.
Wow.
I've sent birthday cards when it's their birthday. If there's ever an advert where like a cereal brand's birthday is, just send them a card and they send you back like £10-20 worth of coupons, and it doesn't cost you that much. I've got like a pack of cards that I bought for like 10 for a pound in like a cheap card shop, and I can just send those off whenever I want, and the rewards I get back is just amazing.
That's fantastic. I mean, the last time I spent 15p on groceries, all I got was a really disturbing tin of rice pudding. So I'm glad there's a proper way to do it as well.
What makes rice pudding disturbing?
If you'd opened that can, you would know. Believe me.
Okay. I don't think I want to know.
Kind of tip up the can and it would come out the shape of the can. Anyway.
Okay.
Moving on.
So I suppose when you do stuff like that, are you targeting products that you already love and that you already kind of know you will use, or is it just kind of you'll take anything? And do you ever, you know, do you ever end up making waste?
I try not to, no. I mean, the whole point of couponing is to try and find coupons for the things that you're actually going to use. Because if you've got a coupon for something and you're just going to spend it willy-nilly just because you've got a discount on it, then you're really not saving money. And that's a big part of food wastage as well. If people are just buying things for the sake of it, then you're wasting food there. And that's something I really try to avoid. But what I do is I try to kind of tailor what I'm eating and my meals around what those coupons for. So if I like lots of different food, and if I find a coupon for something that I'll eat, then I will most likely eat that for the week if it's a good offer. And I just try and kind of tailor my meals around that. And it actually really works, and it saves us a lot of money. So.
And that's, yeah, I mean, that's really interesting because there's lots of different food I like, but I think to myself, oh, I don't want to eat things 2 days in a row. But actually, looking at offers for things that I really like and then planning my meals around that rather than planning my spend around my meals, it's not a concept that I thought of doing before, but that actually sounds really clever.
Yeah, it totally works as well. If there's a coupon for £1 off pizza and you're partial to a pizza, then you can stock up on those, shove them in the freezer, then you've got like 2 weeks worth if you wanted them.
I'm not sure I've ever met anyone that wasn't partial to pizza.
Exactly.
Although we were just hearing earlier that there was a deep pan pizza day recently, so I might have I could have stockpiled. And
There was. Yeah, there was a coupon for £1 off deep pan pizza, and they were priced at £1, which made it completely free.
That's incredible.
I absolutely loved it.
Oh, that's amazing. I would have run to the shop if I'd realised that. That's incredible. Well, I was reading through your blog and I noticed, as well as the things you were saying about sending cards you've also suggested things like, you know, writing poems and stuff for products you really like. So I'm just really curious, what's the most kind of creative or wacky thing that you personally have done to get a coupon from a company or a product?
I've done some pretty weird things, to be fair. I've taken numerous selfies of me with different products saying, look, I've got your product and look how much I like it. I've written a load of poems. And I think one time I wrote a 20-line poem to a drinks company, and it was pretty much every single one of their drinks that they have incorporated into a poem about how much I like it all.
That's fantastic.
And It did take me quite a while. It took me about a half hour to think it up. But they absolutely loved it. And things like that, they can post on their social media and things. Mm. So that's the reason why you're getting so much back. Because pretty much for them, it's free advertising for their company.
Actually, I actually had that once. I was a really big fan of a particular burrito place in town, and I would always tweet at them to say that I was there or what I was having and that kind of thing. And I actually got invited to a free tasting session for their new burrito flavors, and that was
fantastic.
Quite nice.
I should try that.
But I wonder if this is the birth of something new. It's almost extreme couponing. Like how far can you go? Like, can you take a selfie with your favorite pizza on the top of Mount Everest? I mean, how much would that get? Like turning extreme couponing into an even more extreme sport.
Into an extreme sport, yeah.
Well, you'd have to get the trip
concept.
To Nepal for free first, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
to be able to
that'd be brilliant.
Like, if you pay for me to go to Nepal, I will take selfies of your product all along the way. That could work really well.
It's a long shot, but the worst I can do is say no, so...
True.
That's true. I mean, I love taking pictures in places. So actually, this is something I might try and do a bit more of because I take pictures of all of my food. I take pictures of all of the places I go to. I'm just such a pictury person. And as much as I dislike songs about selfies, I have actually been prone to take quite a few of them. So I should really start getting into taking selfies with things. That's quite a cool idea.
Yes,
absolutely.
Let's talk about, speaking of travel, your journey from Essex to Sheffield via Berlin.
That's right. Yeah.
Could you tell us a bit more? I mean, why Berlin? How did you come up with the idea of
it doesn't
flying?
Seem en route, does it?
No, not really. How did you come up with that?
Quite. So basically, I was teaching a class on couponing up in Sheffield, as it happened. And I needed to get back down the country, back to Essex, to where I live. And the cheapest one-way train back down the country was £47. And I found a cheap one-way train up there to go and teach. But the cheapest back down was £47. So I looked for alternative options. And it just so happened that a flight from East Midlands Airport to Berlin was only like £11. And then a flight from Berlin to Stansted Airport, which is like 15 miles away from where I live, was £9. And when I added in everything as well, like a train from Sheffield to Derby, a bus to the airport, trains into the city centre at Berlin, even lunch, and then a bus back home, all of that still came out to £8 cheaper than it would have been the train. Yeah. So, yeah, I just decided to go for it, you know. Spontaneous things in life are always the best. So why not go to Berlin? Why not see a different part of the world for cheaper than it would have cost you? Because I needed to get back home anyway, so... It was just a slight detour, and I got to see and do a lot while I was there.
Did you have much of a layover then when you were in Berlin?
I was there for 4 hours in the city centre, but I was in Berlin for about 7 in total. The rest was spent in like the airports waiting for flight. But I saw quite a lot. I got to see the Brandenburg Gate. I got a tour in like a government building. I went to like Checkpoint Charlie, and I went around all the sites, and I had lunch as well, which was fantastic. And all of that was cheaper. So I don't see why anyone would have taken the train if it was cheaper to go to Berlin.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, I just think, you know, and you've got a really great story out of it as well. I mean, there's nothing to talk about if you just go home on the train, whereas you've got this whole fantastic story that you can write about and tell people about and dine out on for ages.
Well, like we were saying, it's all about the experiences in life, right? And that is an experience that you'll be telling people about for a long time.
Speaking of dining out as well, Kez was telling me earlier about the word wombling and associated with the McDonald's Monopoly promotion.
Oh, that is my favourite thing ever.
Yeah, I want to know more about that.
So basically, the McDonald's Monopoly promotion is going on at the moment until the 26th of April. And on every single drinks can, on every single fries packet, there's stickers. And on those stickers, you can collect either like parts of the Monopoly board to win a bigger prize, or on some of them, there's actually free food prizes. And there are over 40 million free food prizes out there. So if you just peel off these stickers, if people have just left them behind, one out of four is a winning free food sticker. And I've actually collected over £20 worth just by picking up people's rubbish, picking up people's drinks cans outside of on Oxford Street. I'm always wombling up and down there, just picking them up, looking at the stickers and actually seeing if they win. And quite often they actually do. So yeah, I've picked up free apple pies, free sundaes, free breakfast items, free drinks, free fries. I've picked up so much. And it's just from picking up other people's rubbish, which is quite fun.
I wonder where the nearest McDonald's to Wimbledon Common is.
Yeah.
Proper wombling.
But that's the thing, because I remember watching the Wombles, and I think it's that kind of concept. I think it's something that we've fallen out of, especially here in the UK. I think that people, you know, typically were a bit more frugal and typically did sort their rubbish before it got thrown away to make sure there wasn't any waste. And I think we've become a lot more wasteful. But then for someone like yourself who is happy to be a womble and go wombling, that must be incredibly fruitful.
Yeah, and there's actually another way that you can save money through wombling as well, with Asda's receipts. At the bottom of every single Asda receipt, there's a brand guarantee. And it says if it's not 10% cheaper than the next supermarket, then it will give you the difference back. So if Tesco is £5 cheaper than Asda, then it will give you £5 back plus 10%. So it will give you £5.50. And so many people leave their Asda receipts without actually checking it, because you have to enter the details online. And you can pick up those receipts and check it yourself. And people have earned hundreds of pounds just by picking up these receipts and entering them online. And then you get a coupon that you just print out and take the next time you shop.
That's amazing.
That is fantastic. I noticed as well, you can do the same thing with IKEA at the moment. You don't visit IKEA as often necessarily, but I am a huge IKEA fan. And there's a code on the bottom, and if you type it in online, you can win stuff. I won a bedspread last time I went to IKEA from the bottom of my receipt. But people just leave these receipts around, so you can win all kinds of free things.
I need to go to IKEA soon, so could I just put every single thing I buy through in a separate transaction and get loads of them?
That's actually what I did. I went in there and I bought 10 different flannels that were 25p each, and I've won 6 donuts, 2 hot dogs, a £5 food voucher,
wow,
and a picture frame, I think. So it made up for it in price.
And all of those things are things that you'd use or consume.
Yeah, exactly.
So I suppose what you want to do is make sure you've got a laptop or your phone with you when you go, so that before you've driven away, you can check all your prizes and then go back in and get your swag before you, so you don't have to go back again and waste your fuel money.
That is true.
She's got it now. She's properly in the frugal.
I've always been a little bit addicted to trying to get a good deal. I have an envelope that I carry around in my handbag, which I call my voucher pouch. So that they're always with me, so that I don't get to the supermarket and think, oh, I had a voucher for this, and now I've left it at home.
That's a great idea. We have quite an expensive hobby here.
The
radio show, does cost us a fair amount from time to time. So we were just wondering if you had any advice for anything we could do to cut our costs, any tips you can share generally as well.
Or, anyone that has an expensive hobby. I think a lot of hobbies, certainly a lot of sports-based hobbies, quite expensive to be a part of.
Yeah.
But they're very cost prohibitive. Is there stuff that people can do or things that people should look out for?
I would definitely say if you don't have a budget, make sure you're budgeting for absolutely everything. If it's expensive things like sports or radio shows, then you're going to have expensive items such as like equipment, like I'm sure microphones aren't very cheap. So just making sure that you're not overspending for the things that you can, that would be great. And if you can find a cheaper microphone by going online and searching on eBay, then try your best to do that.
I did actually eBay for some of the stuff for this studio, but it still looks quite shiny, so that's fine.
It does. This is very true. Also, at present, I'm a student, and students never have any money. It's the age-old trope. But I wondered if there's anything that I can do that are different to my my less student-y co-hosts that that I can do to save money.
Absolutely. Have you got an NUS card?
I do.
Fantastic. That's a great start. Have you got a 16 to 25 rail card?
I do as well.
You are flying.
I'm
you are
doing the boxes already.
Well, I suppose with a rail card, you could actually be flying, given the story that we had earlier.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, very true. What about an ISIC card? Have you got an ISIC card?
I don't.
What's one,
oh,
what's
there
one
we of go.
Those?
Got you. That's an International Student Union card. So if you get one of those, you can pretty much get discounts all over the world. So if you're traveling like me, then it'll be fantastic to use.
If I find myself coming home via a different country, then...
Yeah. You can get student discounts abroad as well.
Fantastic.
Well, that is quite a good tip, that. And also, I guess, you know, combining all of those other tips together when you're a student around food and everything is quite useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of the Match and More card.
Yeah, so I suppose we've already covered loads of tips, but I suppose is there anything else that we can all benefit from? We very much directed you with questions, but is there anything else that you've recently uncovered that would really benefit us all?
One thing that I do quite like at the moment is apps on your phone that save you money. And there's actually quite a few which are coupon related, where you can claim cash back on things in the supermarket. Mm-hmm. There are so many offers on these apps. They're called Checkout Smart and Shoppertize. And on quite a few of them, there's free stuff that you can claim.
Catherine is literally writing this down.
Oh, check out Smart and Shoppertize. Look them up.
So how do they work?
On these apps, there are so many free stuff on there. You just go into the supermarket and buy what it tells you. Then you come back, you take a photo of the receipt, and then you claim the money back into your account. And then once you've got a certain amount, you can claim that back as Bax or as PayPal transfer.
Ooh.
And there is so much on there you can claim. There is like weekly freebies rotating every single week for you to claim. At the moment, there's like free beer, free bacon, free porridge. So definitely check those out.
Mm. Free bacon.
beer, bacon and porridge, things you could combine into one hearty meal.
Everything you need.
That's incredible. Really just fantastic. I mean, the stuff that I've seen just through looking at your blog or going shopping with Catherine and her voucher pouch, it's amazing. I mean, quite often I'll be in Sainsbury's or Tesco or something, and Catherine will be there with me, and I'll get told off by Catherine, and kind of, there'll be some voucher rummaging, which is great.
No, don't buy that. Buy this one.
But I mean, you've been in the news, obviously, for some of your greater money-saving feats, and... You know, I've been reading your blog a lot about the money saving tips, but I'm curious, as you know, you're kind of so well known for the couponing. What is life for you outside of couponing? What other things do you love? And have you found that a lot of the skills that you've picked up through the couponing actually have helped with other things in life as well?
Well, I'm quite a big fan of traveling, as you might tell. But I've found lots of different discounts for traveling, so that's quite good. And also, aside from that, I actually do quite a bit of performing. I perform in like a local operatic society, so I do like musical theatre. I'm very big into plays, and that actually doesn't cost me much, actually. It costs me like a membership fee, one off every year, and then I get to perform in three different shows. So very cost effective.
Well, I suppose the more you do that, the more... people may see that and potentially even pay you for it one day.
Yeah, exactly.
The travelling thing makes me think, you know, I do quite a bit of travelling for work, and sometimes I have to stay over in hotels, and depending where you're staying, that can be quite expensive? Are there any tips for getting cheaper hotel deals and things like that?
We're just milking you for advice at this point.
I've gone completely off script here. I'm now just asking you for help.
So definitely search for voucher codes if you don't already. There's also websites called Top Cashback and Quidco where you can claim cashback on hotel stays. So usually on, like, if you book through Expedia, you can get 12.6% cashback if you book through that website on any hotel stay. And have you also heard of the website called Couchsurfing?
I think I've heard of it, but yeah, I never
checked
it out.
Definitely have a look at it. Basically, you can stay for free at someone else's house, and you just request like a stay, and they let you stay. It's very simple. All you have to do is just sign up to the website, and then it's a great way to meet new people.
Oh, and that's really interesting, because I was looking up somewhere to stay in London, and the nearest travel lodge was like £105 a night. But for £75 a night, I could have stayed at an Airbnb place that was with that was at like a penthouse apartment at the top of a building in Soho with like three other people, and it was just such a fantastic deal. I'm never not using Airbnb now for that, because it's just crazy. If I want to stay in London, hotel prices are so huge compared to to places like Airbnb. So, I mean, before we wrap up, I mean, you know, we've talked about some of your bigger, more well-known feats, the 4P shopping trip, the flight home via Berlin. What's next? I mean, do you plan these things a lot in advance? Is there something coming that's going to top those stories and make them seem insignificant? Are we going to get free chopper ride to the top of Everest?
I would love that, you know. There are lots of things coming. I can't really tell you too much, but there will be a lot of ways that you can save even more money on travel. And I've even got a tip coming soon, which can get you some free travel to somewhere abroad. So look out for that.
I will be following your Twitter feed like a hawk to get that one. We'll all meet up in Mumbai or wherever this is, and we'll have to do a outside broadcast of the radio show from wherever we end up.
Fantastic.
Well, John, thank you so much for coming on to the show and joining us tonight.
It's been
really great to hear all of your top tips. I think Catherine is busy writing notes on all of them now.
It's been lucrative.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
So how's my idea going? How's Jammy Dodgers? How is this week's and the first ever Would You Fund It going?
Well, it's close. At this stage in the show, it's very close. It's looking generally positive, but it is very soon to tell. I'm not going to call it when it's this tight, but you can still get your votes in. We will be revealing the winner a bit later in the show at gkly.co/fundit or on our Twitter poll at gklyco.
And just as a reminder, that is for Would You Fund It is our new feature talking about whether or not people would actually fund, but in principle, our ideas. And my first idea for this evening, my first pitch of the series, is a reality TV show called Jammy Dodgers, where we put all tax evaders, famous tax evaders certainly, in a Big Brother style house and just lock the door, walk away.
Lock the door, walk away, and forget it ever happened.
Oh, but I have a feeling it's time for something else now.
Indeed it is.
Now, for this week's Game of Geeks.
Yay!
It's back.
Game of Geeks is back.
It is indeed.
We've tried to change it up this time to make it a little more Chris-friendly, should we say?
Thanks.
How does it get
Thanks
more Chris-friendly? Is that easier, basically?
Great.
Well, surely that would just be friendly for you both.
True. So this is basically harder for me, easier for Chris, because last season I won.
Well, I suppose not necessarily.
Everything.
Not necessarily harder for you, just broader topics. So it's not all about films. I'm now going to give you clues to things in many categories.
Ooh. Exciting.
I may even spontaneously add in new categories as we go through the...
And so for our new listeners, what is Game of Geeks?
So Game of Geeks is a game where I give you guys clues to things. So it might be a film or a TV show, a book, a website, a play, you know, all sorts of things. And then you have to try and guess what thing I'm describing. So if you get it on the first clue, you will score 3 points. If you get it on the second clue, 2 points. And if you need 3 clues to get it, you get 1 point. If nobody gets it, then there's just no points. And I tell you the answer.
Okay.
So, obviously, you need buzzers. So I know who is guessing. So, this time, Kez goes...
Let's try that again, shall we?
Let's try it again.
Every show.
Kez goes...
Ooh.
Kerching. And Chris goes... sounds lucrative.
Lengthy. Jackpot.
Yes.
So, for this show, I'm going to have to ask Chris to face the other way.
Yes, because of the
studio configuration is such that Chris and Catherine sit next to each other, and I sit
opposite.
New
layout in our studio has meant I'm just having to turn my microphone around and face away from everyone else.
Sit in the naughty corner, Chris.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yes, are we ready to begin?
Well, I've got my hand on my buzzer.
And I have reset the buzzers so that they will actually work.
I'm going to move this drink before I spill it.
That's also a good idea.
I've been called in the chat room. It's Kez Stark Kez Lannister versus Chris Stark, and that's really disturbing because I'm not a Lannister.
I have no idea what these things mean.
Oh dear.
Right. So the first thing you're guessing is going to be a book.
Ooh.
Exciting. Okay.
Exciting. Okay. Clue number one. This book follows the story of a solicitor, Jonathan Harker, as he helps a wealthy client purchase a London home. Anyone fancy a guess? Or does anyone know?
I like to separate those two options.
Kez.
The Bible.
No.
I mean, it's a book at least.
It's the only book I could think of off the top of my head.
I love it. Shall I go for clue number two?
I think we need clue number two.
Okay. So we've got a wealthy person buying a London home so far. Clue number two. The story is told in this is another thing I can't say. epistolary format. I really hope I said that right. As a series of letters, diary entries, and ship's logs, which narrate the novel's protagonists. Whose narrators are the novel's protagonists. Kez.
The untold story of Boaty McBoatface.
Close, but no.
So this really is easier because it's harder.
Would that be Boaty McBoat book?
Ah.
Ooh,
or Boaty McBoat book.
Boaty McBookface.
Okay. Which is digressing slightly.
I should have made Boaty McBookface a winning answer. Yeah. No matter what the clues were, shouldn't I? Yeah. Okay,
yes.
So it's told in letters, diary entries and stuff. Clue number three. This book is famous for introducing its titular character, probably the most famous vampire ever written about. Kez.
Dracula?
Yes.
Oh.
So that's 1 point for Kez.
Hey!
Close on that.
You were really close on that buzzer. Yeah, I could see that you had the answer there at that point.
I was thinking, if this was me, I'd just buzz and then think of a vampire.
The most famous vampire. And I was sat here and all I was doing was thinking of Buffy. And I'm like, okay, which ones haven't Buffy killed at that point? No. All right, okay.
Okay, cool. So
I'm in the lead already, Chris.
Uh-huh.
The next one that we're going
for... I'm not looking at you.
...is a TV show.
Oh, I might be able to do this one.
Yep.
Maybe.
You do watch a lot of TV.
This is true.
Right, are you ready? Clue number one. This show usually airs on BBC One at 5:15 p.m. Chris.
Pointless.
Yes.
Oh, yes! Word. That was really pointless. How would you get that? I don't even watch TV in order. I just go on the online watch it again services. You have too much free time.
I bloody love Pointless.
You have too much free time, Chris. Too much.
Oh,
wow.
Okay. Well, that was quite exciting, I have to say.
Well, Chris is in the lead now.
Yeah.
This is weird for me. I'm used to winning.
It took you three clues to get Dracula, so...
But I was still in the lead. What's next?
What's next is a website.
All right.
I might be in my element.
It might be in your element, actually.
I don't know. I
waste a lot of time looking at websites.
I have used a lot of the internet.
So, clue number one. On 3rd of March 2015, this site announced that it had filed for a $100 million IPO.
Ooh. Ooh.
On when?
3rd of March 2015. Cares.
Instagram.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Instagram wouldn't be filing for an IPO because it was bought by Facebook.
But it might have filed for one and then Facebook
I
bought them.
I suppose it might have.
But 100 million, then 17 billion, that's
quite a leap.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, maybe
just
not.
A bit.
Anyway, I don't know why is this wrong. No, it's just this. Clue number two. This peer-to-peer e-commerce website has offices in New York and Berlin.
Okay, so you said peer-to-peer e-commerce. So I'm basically just throwing answers out there now. Etsy?
Yes.
Ooh. Oh.
So I was going to say that because I knew that they were originally based in Berlin. But
yeah, I thought that would be a clue that Kez might get.
But I hesitated. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Chris, yeah. Indeed.
You hesitate.
I like wow. New Game of Geeks.
They who hesitate is lost. Mm.
Clearly, I watch too many films, which is why I won the last series.
And not enough websites.
I don't watch
just
enough.
Just watch the website.
I do often sit and look at a Monet and a Rembrandt and an Etsy.
Yep.
Just sit and look at the Yahoo homepage from 1996.
I've got that framed in my house.
Yeah, I thought so.
Right, okay, let's go for one more and have some theatre.
Oh, God.
Yeah, okay, let's see how we get on with this. Clue number one. This play by J.B. Priestley was first performed in 1945 in the Soviet Union and in 1946 in the UK.
I know.
No.
I know a few J.B. Priestley. Like, no, like I'm not.
I feel like that's the kind of fact I have once been told, but it just did not go in.
I feel like I might get it after another clue.
Okay. This play is a three-act drama which takes place on a single night in April 1912, focusing on the prosperous upper-middle-class Berlin family.
Titanic.
No.
But that's around the time that the Titanic happened.
I can see why
happened.
You would say that.
But that was J.B. Priestley and Kate Winslet, wasn't it?
Yes, I remember that adaptation.
Co-written
well.
By Celine Dion.
Yes.
Yes, and first performed in 1945.
Yes.
Well, Celine Dion's getting on a bit.
Okay. Any more guesses?
I've got nothing.
Okay.
Next clue.
Clue number three. The play is studied in many schools in the UK as one of the prescribed texts for the English Literature GCSE examination.
Uh-huh.
I did do English Literature GCSE.
But I didn't do this play.
But
just
no, I did Arthur
plays
Miller.
That your friends did.
Oh.
This is tough. It's like my mind's just gone blank.
Pick a play that a friend...
I wasn't expecting
right,
a play.
I've got... Because my buzzer hesitation / non-hesitation has been good, I've got something I can't even remember who it's by, if it's a book, if it's a play, if it exists or anything like that. But I'm going to say an Inspector Calls.
And you would be correct.
Oh! Oh, my goodness. I have English teachers in my family and I'm going to get so chastised for not getting that. Of course it is. Yeah.
So, starting off, just as you started off the last series.
Well, that is true. You did. But it seems that this time around...
This week's winner is... Chris.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
With 6 points to one.
Start as you
six
mean
points to
go
one.
On.
Oh, I'm being shown a big... I'm being shown a screen that just says, "You're bad" on it. Thank you. That's really encouraging from some of our production crew here. Oh, brilliant.
I love this team.
Wow. Okay. That was...
That was quite interesting.
That was enlightening, I suppose.
Yeah, I like the new format.
Will you be saying that next week?
If you're kind to me in the questions.
Fair enough. So coming up after the next song, we've got, of course, an update on Would You Fund It? We've got plenty more coming up as well. We've got, about 20 minutes of the show left.
Ooh.
How exciting. And don't forget to get your last requests in. Not your last request. I don't know why I said that. Don't forget to get your final requests of the show in. Not your last request. That's a very different concept. Mm. Not
Nor the song Last Request, because we've done that one already.
We've done that.
The
we
joke
have.
Is done.
All right. Okay. I'm going to stop talking for a little while now.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
Oh, I'm still reeling from having lost Game of Geeks this week.
I'm still beaming from having won it for the first time in far too long.
Far too long indeed.
A reeler and a beamer.
A reeler and a beamer. That sounds like a...
Reeler and beamer. Private investigators.
Indeed. Oh, and we've had some... just had a fantastic guest this evening. I'm just blown away by the awesome stuff that Jordan's doing. So thank you all for saying such lovely things in the chat room as well. I appreciate all of the lovely comments. And please do go and follow Jordan on Twitter. But from saving money to spending money, would you fund it?
Would you indeed? And it looks like, generally... You would.
That's amazing. Do people really want to fund it?
People do want to fund it with a very, very close vote. People do, in fact, adding up the results of our website poll and our Twitter poll, want to fund Jammy Dodgers.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm really quite happy with that. That is fantastic.
53% of our audience tonight have decided that Jammy Dodgers, or is there the way I described it on the website, one house, 16 hidden offshore accounts, who gets convicted of tax evasion? You decide.
Or, of course, with the more Geordie accent, one house. That wasn't a Geordie accent.
No, it really wasn't.
16 hidden offshore accounts. Who gets convicted of tax evasion?
It's gone. You decide. It's gone a bit worse.
Yeah, I'm not particularly great at the accents without preparation, to be honest with you.
But it means the first Would You Fund It victory of Series 4 goes to Kez. Whey! So well done.
Oh, that's amazing. And so if you head to the website... gkoy.co/fundit, you can actually see not just the results of this vote, but as we get through the series, you'll be able to see who out of the three of us has been able to get more things funded.
Indeed. There's a pie chart on there, or as it looks at the moment, a dot on there, a big blue circle with your name on it.
Kez. we are kind of having a bit of a competition here to see which of our ideas get funded. So obviously Jammy Dodger was my idea. We will each kind of on different weeks bring something to the show to try and pitch it to you and see if it goes. And I've heard some of the ideas from my beautiful co-hosts here, so I'm quite excited to see what you all think of them.
I'm quite excited to put mine together for next week.
We will give your no spoilers, but it's really quite fantastic.
It is.
Funded.
There may
I'm
be
excited
more
about
voices.
We may have to get other people to do some of them.
If there's one thing we can promise for the rest of this feature, it's a lot of very bad acting.
Yeah, well.
Oh dear.
But I mean, I'm personally just amazed that in the short time that we've been away, there's been so much weird stuff happening.
I know.
I mean, the Boaty McBoatface was obviously quite a great one for me. The Pew Museum, indeed. I just thought was...
Pew?
Pew. The Pew Museum. The Hugh the Museum. The Spew Museum. The Barney McGrew Museum. The Cuff Museum.
And the Dibble Museum.
And indeed... Yes, the
yeah.
The Grub, isn't the Grub Museum that hotel in Iceland where that McDonald's burger is in the Tupperware?
Yeah, I think it might be.
Series 3 callback.
I think more than anything, you visit the Grub Museum a few too many times and then you need to visit the Poo Museum.
Oh, God.
But there have been loads of other weird things popping up as well. I mean, you were talking about unicorns exist now, do they?
Yes, apparently. Well, unicorns existed 29,000 years ago, apparently. So in Kazakhstan, scientists who've been digging stuff up...
Presumably to put in the Poo Museum.
I really don't know what museum they plan on putting it in. But they've apparently found evidence of what they call a Siberian unicorn that existed 29,000 years ago. Because they found this skull with a horn in Kazakhstan.
Oh, it looks very furry.
It does. I'm reading an article in The Guardian at the moment, and there are some excellent paintings of what this unicorn may have looked like. The article goes on to say, unicorn, probably not, because it kind of looks more like a rhinoceros, really. But, you know, thing with horn sticking out of it, unicorn, why not?
I think I'd go with rhinoceros.
I like that.
A rhinoceros.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me.
It kind of does.
That's incredible. Amazing. But there's loads of stuff coming up in the future as well. I mean, I know that it's a little bit ahead. We've got a couple of shows. Well, we've got a show and almost another show before then. And the third show of the series will be the day after a whole bunch of elections happen. So you know, there are loads of local elections. I mean, I get to vote in some of them. The people get to vote in others. The Mayor of London. There are lots of local elections happening on the 5th of May in the UK. There may even be local elections happening where you are. I believe there are some voting things happening in the United States at the moment, but I don't know if that's for anything particularly important. All I know is that someone with a fake tan and a wig is really vying for some power there.
I think it's the voting for Jamie Dodger. I think they're ringing in to say who they want to evict.
But I mean, the thing about voting in the UK is that you can't vote unless you're registered to vote. And it's actually really, it's even easier to do that now. So it's a really... you know, it's worth mentioning, doing our kind of public service announcement. If you want to vote in the UK, you are old enough to vote and you want to register to vote, it's so easy, but you've only got until the 18th of April to do it.
Yes. But do go ahead
10
and do
days.
That.
Yeah, 10 days from today, you've got to register to vote if you want to vote on May the 5th.
You can do that on gov.uk/register to vote. If you would like to do so.
It only takes 5 minutes. All you need is to have your national insurance number, which if you're a UK citizen, you have. If you're eligible to vote, you have a national insurance number. I find the national insurance number actually so boring and tedious, I've remembered it because I have to put it on everything, which is annoying. But apparently for students as well, which I think is really cool, and you were saying to Jordan earlier that you're a student, you can register to vote... at your home and at your student address.
Yes, so I'm going to get to vote in the London mayoral election, for example, because I am I am one of those London students with no money.
So you can register in both places, but could you say, you know, wake up and vote at your student location and then hair off home and, you know, via Berlin because it's cheaper, and then vote there too?
Well, I don't think you could vote in Berlin, no.
No, go home via Berlin.
So I'm not going to be able to vote for a mayor of London in my hometown of Bristol, but I don't know how it works.
You could vote for Bristol-y things in Bristol.
Possibly.
So what you could do is you could spend the first thing, as soon as the polling booth opens in London, go and vote for the mayor, have lunch in Berlin, and then once you've got to Bristol, you can vote there as well.
I think I'm going to have to do this.
This is brilliant. Okay, so before our third episode of the Geekly Chronicles on May the 6th, we will tell that story there. Yes. We'll have to let Jordan know that we're planning on doing this and try and get that
done. Chris got or arrested for electoral fraud.
Yeah. Or just make one up.
Yeah, you know, to be fair.
If we don't manage to do it.
So my thing has been funded is the summary here. Also, please register to vote and vote. Whether you're in the UK or indeed in any other country where you are able to vote. If you're listening to us from a country where you don't actually get to vote at all, our sympathies. Please feel free to come and crash at the studio. You know, grab a flight via Berlin, and
you can vote in a would you fund it. I mean, that's basically the same experience.
It is, and in fact, a lot of this is less ridiculous than most of the policy I think we see for things that we'd have to vote for.
Very, very true. So, I mean, Donald Trump was involved in this as well as the actual election.
But a vote for this was a vote to spend money putting Donald Trump, Sarah Palin, Vladimir Putin, and David Cameron in a room.
This is very true and a very good point.
Forgetting about it.
So, you know, swings and roundabouts. But yes, do make sure you're registered. And if you can't vote, then come have fun here.
I'm just kind of sat here looking at the request queue, thinking about what else we can put in for the request. And people have just started requesting emojis.
Yeah.
So Penman in the chat room has requested a poo emoji.
Absolutely enough.
So we will send you a ticket to get into the Poo Museum in the Isle of Wight.
I wonder what's in the gift shop there.
Toilet paper, I'm guessing.
I was in I think it was the Natural History Museum, and they had notepads made of elephant poo.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
I was going to make a joke about something and it's completely escaped my mind.
Because I remember you saying the joke you were going to make. In the chat room, Scattermoon requested poo. And it's added poor Pharaoh from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat to the request queue.
It seems that Geeklybot has an opinion on musicals here.
Apparently
so. Not a fan of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Indeed. I mean, it has an opinion on a lot of things, as I think we've learned from the various mistaken requests it's given us. So yes. I think we probably need to sort that out.
Geeklybot closed its eyes, drew back the curtains to see for certain the same
what
level of hate that Microsoft Tay seems to have put it. But I think for some reason all of the AI bots, not that there's much AI in
Well, Geekly, not that there's much I.
Yeah, it's definitely
it's very
artificial.
It's not very intelligent.
Yeah, I think all of the bots are starting to talk to each other now because I think Tay might have really started to have an impact. And in case you missed it there, listeners, there was a chatbot that Microsoft released onto Twitter. And it was very reminiscent of the old, I don't know if you ever were on MSN Messenger and you could add smarter bots and it was just like a ridiculous bot you could have conversations with. This was basically that, but
it learned most dangerously.
Well, it learned from people's tweets, and because people are people.
Yes. This is true.
And we are all, as people, fundamentally flawed. Yes. there was a large amount of people abusing Tay, and unfortunately, after 16 hours, the bot got taken offline because it had essentially become very racist, very homophobic.
And very Donald Trump.
Yeah. It had started to become really, really fascist, which was a little bit weird for a Twitter bot.
A little bit worrying.
So they took it off the air.
It also started wildly spamming by the look of it. Spamming its more than 210,000 followers with the same tweet saying, "You are too fast. Please take a rest," over and over. It's just tweet after tweet sending to all the followers the same message, which must have just been really annoying.
Yeah, I mean, it must have got really, really frustrating for the poor bot, and probably the poor bot's creators as well, sat there going, "I wanted to make you for such good, and this is what you've been." It's like, have you watched Big Hero 6? It's like, you know, Baymax is meant to be there for health and protection, and now he knows karate.
Indeed.
I love that film.
So we're going to go and put that film on.
Yeah, I think so. Well, we are now approaching the end of the show. Yeah, I mean, we've had a really amazing guest on tonight. So a huge thanks to Jordan Cox for coming onto the show and talking to us all about couponing and wombling. And I'm certainly not ashamed to do a bit of wombling myself. Huge thanks, of course, to David Cameron, to Sarah Palin, to Donald Trump, and to Vladimir Putin. I mean, we really have to thank them. They've made themselves such easy targets for our comedy that we couldn't have done that without them.
Thank you, politics. It's just so easy now.
Indeed. Huge thanks, of course, to all of you for voting in our first ever Would You Fund It? Huge thanks, of course, to our guest for the Geekly Guide to Sport. And, of course, to everyone for contributing everything to the Tumble Fumble and all of the great stuff they're putting on Twitter and Tumble and all of the things on the internet. Biggest thanks, of course, to you, our listeners, for tuning in. Thank you for listening, whether you're listening back or listening live. Thanks to everyone in the chat room. I've just done a lot of thanking, which is
indeed
brilliant.
Yeah, if you do listen back, remember that you can request songs and things before the show. So, you know, you can still join in and interact with us at any time.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time, as we always are, on April the 22nd. Exactly the same sort of time as we normally are, and you'll be able to listen to the second episode in the series then. But from me, Kez.
From me, Chris.
And from me, Catherine.
Have a wonderful fortnight and goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to The Geekly Chronicles. Content was researched and vaguely fudged together by Chris, Catherine and Kez, who are also your hosts for this evening's show. The Geekly Chronicles is an independent production. Any reference to any persons or things, living or dead, was probably an error. What is reality anyway? Don't take the blue pill, live long and prosper. Wear sunscreen.